from University of Groningen in the Netherlands, but I happen to be here due to family matters in London, so I took the opportunity to present here, and I'm very happy to be here today. I will try to use this one. My PhD project is about classroom interactions during reading aloud at kindergarten, so I hope to show you some of my data today. And I would like to ask you, Andrew is your name, I think, when I show the videos, if you want to ring off. It's obvious when I'm showing them. Okay, just to give you the environment, in the Netherlands, children go to kindergarten from 4 to 6 years old. They are obliged to go when they are 5, but most of the children go there when they are 4 already. It's integrated in primary school, it's the first 2 years of primary school. And because it's the first educational environment, it's the first acquaintance with classroom interaction when they enter kindergarten, and that's why I think it's an interesting environment to study. The focus I have is the reading aloud activity. It's a whole class activity, and when teachers use an interactional style of reading, so when they ask questions before, during, and after the reading aloud, there's a lot of space for whole class interaction. When by use of picture books, the teacher can give children chances to talk about topics that are outside the direct environment of the classroom, because they're the topics of the books and situations from the books that are outside the environment, and so that's the first possibility to bring the everyday life into the classroom, as my title suggests. But that's not what I want to focus on today. I would like to focus on different participation frameworks and their relations to everyday life. So the different participation frameworks in the reading aloud activity. But before I go on to that, I will first give you some insight in my PhD project. The working title of my project is Reading Aloud of Picture Books in Kindergarten, Interaction and Children's Learning. I asked 3 teachers to participate in a longitudinal reading aloud program, and they teach mixed age groups, so the children are really 4 to 6 years old, and they're around 20 children in each group. I asked them to read aloud 24 books in 12 weeks, and I videotaped half of them. So I went there every week to videotape a reading aloud session. And I transcribed that, and this summer I started the analysis of the data. So I want to stress that this is preliminary and work in progress, so that's just one thing to be said. By means of the detailed analysis, I assume to see that children learn to participate in the reading aloud, and by doing so, they learn from the topics and the situations from the books. But first, today, it's only 20 minutes, so I just want to focus on the participation part. Okay, so participation frameworks. It's the first educational environment, I just said, and when children enter kindergarten, they have to acquire what I call the interactional framework, besides the framework they are acquiring in ordinary life. So they learn the turn-taking procedures in ordinary life, how they can join into a conversation. But when they enter kindergarten, they also have to learn how they can participate in classroom interaction. McHall already described how the turn-taking procedures look like in classroom interaction. Only teachers can direct speakership. They have maximized participation rights, and they can decide who speaks when and how. And children are described as a partly contributing audience. They have minimized participation rights, and they can participate when the teacher gives them the floor. Mainly, of course, there are a lot of exceptions, but this is just the rough picture. By doing so, the teacher can give children opportunities to participate in the turn-taking, in the interactions, and by doing so, she can give them opportunities to participate in doing learning. So by participating, they can do learning. Margutti, for example, in 2006, showed how the design of questions showed children how they can participate in non-addressed questions, so they can answer chorally or by bidding procedures, but they can also participate by... No, I'm not trying to tell that because that's the wrong story. And she showed that they, as such, they can learn how to participate in those kind of question answer sequences and how they can participate in learning. I'm also interested in learning, so that's why I like this point of view. But besides the interactional framework, I want to focus on the discussion framework today, because I would plead that children also get chances to participate in more like discussions during reading alouds. A lot of scholars talk about dialogic teaching lately, and about thinking and talking together, as that children should learn to use language to think and communicate together, and that this could be brought into the classroom by more or less dialogic teaching. So that's more conversation-like genre. So dialogic teaching should prepare children for their further social career, so not only for their school career, as they learn to participate in the interactional framework, they learn how to participate in their further school career, but by the discussion framework, they might get prepared for even longer in their career. So I would show you that the next phase when they acquire the interactional framework is that they can learn to participate in a multi-party setting structure, so they can learn how to discuss with one another. The reading aloud is a good setting for that, because there are a lot of topics and situations there can be discussions about. And if the teacher gives the floor for the teacher, if she creates opportunities for children to contribute more freely, then there's room for discussion. And we asked the teachers, or we stimulated the teachers to use discussion eliciting techniques, like, for example, remaining silent at strategic points, or making a statement instead of asking a question. So I will go to the first example. I've got two, and I hope I have enough time to show them both. This is an example of the picture books from Sally Grimpley and Peter Utton. And they're discussing about this picture in the book. As you can see, there's a big castle, and the blue towers are small in this picture. Okay, I want to show you the video first. It's subtitled, and it's in your handout, so you can hope you can follow the Dutch. Oh, but I display it here so I can point at some things. As you can see, I left some parts out because you saw in the video that there it's a really long fragment, and I want to focus on this part because there's some confusion about whether the towers look small or scary, and that's really interesting, but not for now. So I want to zoom in at the point that, in my opinion, the real discussion starts. In the video, you see that the teacher makes a statement. I think that the towers look very small. She's not saying small, but she's indicating that that's the topic of the discussion. And then finally, after the repair, Rick comes in the discussion by, yes, that's because... Here you see Rick already selected himself before, and here he's giving a possible explanation how come the towers look that small spontaneously, without being directly asked for. You can see that the teacher is still in lead, because in line 10 she is asking, would that be it, without evaluating his contributions. So she's not evaluating, but she's clearly accepting his contribution. And Robert takes this up as a request for confirmation, but we can see that she's contributing to the discussion to ask another question. How would that be possible? And I've got the impression that those two questions, they are not evaluative, and they are not known information questions, I would plead for, because they are what I call doubting. It looks like she's acting like an equal participant, like she's like the students are. Of course, she knows how come the towers look that small, but she's acting like she does not to stimulate the discussion. And you see here that it's taken up like that because Tim is contributing to the discussion by use of cause, clearly. He's using cause to show that he's adding something to the overall discussion, because that is to the clouds. And here you see the teacher, now you don't see it, but you see it in a transcript, that she uses a surprised expression there. And I would call that also that she's acting unknowing, because she's surprised by his contribution. She's acting like, okay, yeah, we're talking together about how it could be possible. And she clearly accepts his contribution here as well, although he selected himself. But here it looks that's okay here. Tim, after a long silence, he selects himself again and he says maybe to the moon. The use of maybe is interesting here because normally after a question they give a straightforward answer, but now he's stressing that he's not sure and that he assumes that it's okay to give a contribution here where what is not taken for granted yet. He's not sure about it, but he still has the feeling that he can think out loud in some way. And the teacher acknowledges that by maybe yes, and then we see Dries creating overlap here, and the teacher looks at him as if it's okay that he is starting his turn. He also uses maybe twice, so he's also thinking out loud, and the teacher is thinking along with him by nodding here. There's a lot of more interesting things happening in 29 to 41, but due to time constraints, I would like to take you to line 42, because in my opinion, there's a turning point here, because here we see an addressed question for the first time. So yes, because how do we look at it, Tim? So she's addressing Tim. Well, during the discussion framework, she was not addressing anyone. They could self-select. And here we see that she's asking a question that's aiming for terminology. And maybe you're not convinced by looking at only this line, but in the later conversation or the interaction that follows, she keeps keeps aiming at the phrase looking from bottom upwards. It's hard to translate because in Dutch it's a clearer way. Now it looks very difficult. But she's clearly looking for that. She's even giving a definition later. So here I would say that there's an instructional part starting, so a normal classroom interactional part. However, we see that Dries is still dealing with the discussion here because he contributes he is giving a possible explanation. However, the teacher is not taking that up. She's not nodding, she's not looking surprised, or she's not pointing at him like she did here, but she's not doing anything with it. So the absence could indicate to Dries that the discussion framework is over for now. Okay, I know there's a lot more to say about the transcript, but there's only 20 minutes, so I want to take you to the other example. Maybe we could discuss about it afterwards.
Just 5 minutes.
Okay, thanks. This is the discussion example two. It's about from the book Second Best. At this moment in the book, the bear here is feeling very sad and he's looking up into the sky, and then a bear of stars appears. And I will show you the clip soon, and then the teacher shows the page, and then the discussion starts. It's different from the other example because where the teacher is acting differently. In the first example, she was more or less a discussion leader. She was accepting contributions and she was asking questions that could stimulate the discussion. But here, I would say that she's even more a kind of bystander in the discussion. This example is also different because the children, in the first example, they think out loud cumulatively. They come up with different possibilities, how come the towers look that small. But here, we can say that the children even build on each other's contributions constructively. So I will show you the clip, so you can decide for yourself if you agree with me. Okay, so here we see that it's not the teacher who selects a topic, but it's a child that selects a topic here. I think that it's his own mirror image. Of course, the teacher gave the floor to the students because she remained silent while showing the picture. So she gave the floor to the students, and Jonah's picking that up and he's coming up with his own hypothesis, what the bear of stars exists of. The teacher, again here, like the other teacher, accepts his contribution by laughing and pointing in the book. So she accepts that he self-selected and that he selected the topic. And then Steve even selected himself, and he counters Jonah by saying no, because it's in the sky. So he argues that it can't be true, what Jonah is saying. Jonah is overlapping there. After the no, he is rephrasing his argumentation. He's rephrasing his hypothesis by saying, but then that he's standing differently, because the bear is looking up and the big bear is standing on four legs. And the teacher is responding to Steve by saying, yeah, and there's a long silence. And then she repeats Steve's contribution, but it's high in the air, up against the sky. Yeah, it's also a translation question, because Lucht and Hemel are different words, but it's difficult to show it in English. Then there's a relatively long silence again, and then we should look at 13, at Daniel, because he is adding to the discussion by the use of yes and. By the use of and, we can see that he's still he's building on the other contribution of Steve. Yes, and there can't come a mirror image yet. So then the teacher summarizes the discussion, and then no, then it can't be a mirror image. And we even see here that Jonah is claiming knowledge here. He says, oh, nay. Literally, it would be, oh, no, but maybe you would say it's, oh, right. So he's claiming that he understood that his hypothesis is wrong. So summing up the two examples, we see that in the discussion framework that I propose here, that all participants might select a topic, even the students, like Jonah did in the second example. We saw that students self-select here after the teacher's turn, but even after each other's turn. While in regular classroom interaction, the turn goes back to the teacher after student's turn, or at least the selection of the next speaker goes back to the teacher. We see that the children think out loud cumulatively. They reason together and they think about possible explanations. And we see in the second example that they even build constructively and critically on each other's ideas. And we can name that exploratory talk, like Barnes introduced in 76 and Mercer elaborated on later on. But we see that the teacher still plays a central role here. It's not the everyday like discussion, multi-party setting discussion as we see in everyday life, because she still accepts the contributions, and we see that she is not a primary recipient like in normal classroom interaction, but she is discussion leader, as in the first example, or what I call bystander in the second example, because she's not contributing to the discussion in the second example. So I hope to have shown you that when children enter school in kindergarten, that they get to know the classroom interactional framework during reading aloud, and as such get prepared for their further school career, but they also get to know the discussion framework when teachers use discussion eliciting techniques. Of course, that's necessary to stimulate discussion. And that's, I would say, is a preparation for the further social everyday life career, like they will experience in, for example, work settings when they are older than we saw in the videos. Additionally, by participating in the discussion framework, they also work on their oral and argumentative skills, and by doing so, by thinking out loud, they can build on each other's knowledge and contributions, and as such construct knowledge together. So I would love to say more about how they learn from that and how they construct knowledge together, but that's the rest of my PhD. I will still look at the learning part, because this is just the participation part. So I would like to thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. Matching beautifully timed. Thank you very much, Mirta. So we have a good time for questions, observations, discussion points. Yes, here.
Thank you. One observation and one thing I noticed against the background of the nurseries and kindergartens that I know, I was surprised to see that there is, in terms of the spatial setup of the situation, there's quite a clear distinction between the teacher, who is a bit elevated, either standing or sitting on a chair, and kind of the children as a kind of audience,
mm-hmm.
sitting on the floor. And in the light of that, I thought maybe your that in a sense for me makes your observation even more interesting, that there is, that the children are more agentive, if you like, than some, according to some theories, they would be expected to be.
Mm-hmm.
And my question would be, is that the case in all of your in all of your recordings, or is that, are there differences in your recordings?
The
are there cases where the teacher would sit in a circle
mm-hmm.
on the floor with the children or something like that?
Normally they could sit in the circle, but now I asked them for the program to sit there because of the videotaping and because we wanted them to show the pictures all the time during the reading aloud, so that the children could look at the pictures all the time, even when she was reading text. So there was a stand where the book was standing on, so that the teacher could, and she was reading from a separate paper, so they could look at the book all the time. And because of that, she was sitting in the middle, so that all the children could see the picture. So we set up the setting like this. Yes, but yeah, it's an interesting viewpoint that it could have to do something with the observations I made. Yeah. Thank you,
John.
I was interested in the kind of issue of who gets to ask the questions. And I wanted to ask you about line 3 of excerpt 1. Is that heading for something that's like a question form?
What else? Yeah, that's still part of the repair, because there's confusion about scariness or smallness.
Okay. I mean, what I was trying to get at, is that one of those self-reflective, what else, you know, could it be? Because one of the things I was interested in the participation framework is who gets to talk to who.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that you showed in some of the places that there's clear interaction between the children.
Mm-hmm.
But I wondered whether they asked each other questions or whether the teacher is the one who gets to ask those kinds of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it looks like from line 16 onwards here
mm-hmm.
is that a lot of the work that the children are doing are displaying that there is an answer, a particular answer to be given with maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, I wondered who those things were addressed to, because the lovely little boy
mm-hmm.
in this corner who does the telescope
thing
here, you know, and I just wondered, you know, how many bits of participation, how many bits of interaction are going on in these settings.
Mm-hmm. At the first point, they don't ask each other's questions that much. They don't do that. Sometimes they do. I've seen it a couple of times, especially in this classroom, because they are very attentive to each
uh-huh.
other. But of course, they always aim at the teacher here. But I think it's different that they dare to think out loud here by use of maybe. That's a different form of answering than answering to a question by giving the answer that the teacher is aiming for.
Why do you call it thinking out loud?
Because they're trying. Of course, they're trying to come up with the best answer that the teacher says. Oh yes, you're totally right. But I think I call it thinking out loud because they give possible explanations. They throw it in the group like maybe this is it. And by use of the maybes, they indicate that they are thinking. I have the feeling.
I wondered whether they were indicating that they were displaying that there was an answer, there was an answer to be given.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And it's the status of the candidateness
mm-hmm.
of the answers. Not that they're thinking about things, but
mm-hmm.
that sequentially that's... Oh,
yeah,
whatever.
It could be. Yeah, it's a good
yeah.
comment.
Yeah.
Yes, thanks.
Thank you.
Tim, I saw the back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of following that to a second. It kind of comes off as a puzzling solution that they're collectively working out. But I think just going back to mechanism, that it's almost, it's got that element to it, that there's a point when we know we've collectively come to it when the teacher will offer it goes next.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got that kind of puzzle solution mechanism. I think secondly, I'm interested in the idea about, you said at various points about what normal primary schools are.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really interesting about this is if you think about kindergarten or any other space, that there is no room. Lots of the CA is focused on this thing, which is this question with no answer, this
mm-hmm.
kind of stuff. But actually, the space of the classroom on a day-to-day basis is large numbers of participating
mm-hmm.
in large numbers. I mean, they do discussion in radically different ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always teacher-led discussion. This is one format.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of discussion group work. Do you see
yeah,
what I mean? About
mm-hmm.
how we think about it.
Yeah, of course. Can I react to that? Or because I know that there are a lot of participation frameworks, because my PhD project is about reading aloud, I just focused on the frameworks I saw until now in the reading aloud. And it's always dangerous to use normal.
Yeah.
And I was thinking I should avoid that, but I did. So it's confusing you, sorry for that. What I wanted to say more is that I couldn't show you more of this conversation going on because it's not ended here. It's going on, and I would say that after that there is more classroom instructional interaction, because she's aiming for the phrase from bottom up, upward. And after this, she's clearly evaluating the contributions. So it looks like she first lets them think about it and discuss about that, and then she uses that to come to the final solution. So there is, you can see differences in there in the whole fragment that I couldn't show you here. So that's why I dare to say that this is more discussion-like than the following interaction.
We better stop there. So
yeah.
Thanks once
okay.
again.